There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
1207 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile and a brand new week to work with. Hey, y'all. Sean Sullivan. Glad you're here. Live local talk over the next couple of hours. And you're part of the show pretty easily when you pick up the phone at 343-0106 or on the text line 343-0106. Same number, two different outcomes. Well, they both get the message through. One, we get to hear your dulcet tones. The other one, I get to read your words. And I might make up a weird accent or something like that. So, I mean, you can choose to do it either way. But just know that in your contacts for FM Talk 106.5, phone number 343-0106. Podcast available, of course, through our website and iTunes and Stitcher and Spotify. And even through the iTunes app, which is the app you use to listen to us on your smartphone. Those podcasts available there as well. It may be one of those shows where you want to grab some of these podcasts and share them later on in the show. Hour number two, Todd Stacey from Alabama Daily News is going to join us. We're going to talk with him about the shakedown, the boot camp for new state legislators from both parties in Montgomery, what they're getting ready for in the 2019 session. Plus, we'll talk President Trump and the dump on Friday. You have people saying, a lot of Democrats, but you have some Republicans saying, be careful. This could be bad for the president. And even Andrew McCarthy saying why he thinks the president's likely to be indicted. This will be interesting. And we'll talk about that with Todd Stacey coming up in the second hour. Also coming up in the second hour, National Lager Day. I get choked up. National Lager Day is today. L-A-G-E-R, lager, like the beer. Who knew it had its own day? I didn't until I stumbled upon this, but we're going to talk about this with Kenny Gold from hopculture.com, all about lagers and other beers on today's show. That'll be about 1:35 today. So put that on your to-do calendar if you want to check out the story of lagers and ales and what makes them different and all kind of beer school. We'll do that with Kenny coming up at 1:35. This hour, just a second, we'll be joined by Matt Murphy. Matt with Talk 99.5 in Birmingham and the latest on the protest in Hoover. That's coming up in just about 4 or 5 minutes here at FM Talk 106.5. Let me say this, too. Time Magazine, Dalton, jumping in. They finally released their list of Person of the Year. You know, Time Magazine completely ripping off our Alabamian of the Year, but I'll keep the attorneys out of it for right now. Yeah, Time's Person of the Year 2018, their list of nominees. Back on top, President Trump, because he was, 2016's Person of the Year. Separated families, families separated the U.S. border, they're on the list. Vladimir Putin made Time's Person of the Year 2018 list. Robert Mueller makes the list, of course, special counsel. Ryan, is it Coogler or Coogler? Is it Coogler, the director of Black Panther? Is it Coogler? I don't know, Ryan Coogler. It is Coogler. Okay, Ryan shows you what I know. Ryan Coogler, director of Black Panther, on the list. Christine Blasey Ford on their list. Of course, professor who made sexual assault allegations against Kavanaugh. You know, and then Kavanaugh doesn't make their list. You see that? Blasey Ford makes a list. Kavanaugh does not. Jamal Khashoggi, of course, the story's still not done on that one. Journalist killed in Saudi Arabian consulate in Istanbul. Makes a list. The March for Our Lives activist makes the list. And Moon Jae-in, South Korean president, all making the list for Time's Person of the Year 2018. More importantly than what Time's doing is our Alabamian of the Year, right? Here's how we do it. We take y'all's nominations for Alabamian of the Year. And then, remember, it's not just like Time Magazine that we completely ripped off. Just like Time Magazine, It doesn't have to be good. It can be a good person, did good for the state. It could be anything that drove the news cycle in Alabama that made the most difference in the state of Alabama in 2018. And we have opened it up, not just human beings, but we have groups of human beings. As always, we have a full list of animals that have made the list here. So movements, animals, individual people, things, and they don't have to be from Alabama. They could have done something, they could be from Georgia or whatever, and do something that affects our state. They make the list as well. So your nominees, send them into our text line, 343-0106, 343-0106, drop them on the text line. And just put a note there, say Alabama in the year or something to that effect. Put that on there. And then you can do the same thing. Facebook, we have a pinned status there to take your nominees. Also on Twitter, I'm at FMTalk1065. If you want to give me a hashtag Alabamian of the Year suggestion, we'll take them there as well. Then starting next week, we seed the brackets and y'all vote. And we winnow down the list until the end of this month, beginning of next month, when we crown the Alabamian of the Year for 2018. All right. Matt Murphy, Talk 99.5 from Birmingham, joins us next to talk about what's happening in Hoover.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, 1216, FM Talk 106.5. You hear that, Dalton? I mean, it may be. The voice may be gone by the end of the show. Although I don't think it's... Can you look up what the symptoms of the hantavirus are? I don't think I have, like, everybody... You have flu? I don't have flu. I think I have... Remember the hantavirus killed all those people in the Southwest? I'm sorry. All right. Going forward on the show today, hopefully I'll pull through this and we can get the antidote. We talk about what's happening in the second hour of the show. I mentioned what's happening in the first hour of the show because Matt Murphy is joining us from Talk 99.5 in Birmingham. A man that I specifically, when I put out my tweets after the Alabama-Georgia game, I did none of them at him. So, you know, so he would take my phone call. So, you know, we're good, man. We're good.
Trust me, I've been in Alabama long enough. If I'm not able to take those slings and arrows from the Crimson Tide faithful, I need to move back to Georgia. How are you, Sean?
I'm good, man. I'm good. And I want to talk about the situation up there in Birmingham, or specifically Hoover, and reminding folks that this is all stemming off of that shooting on Thanksgiving night at the Galleria, right?
Right, and you know, and stop me if I'm covering some information that you've already gone over, but I'll give you a brief synopsis of what has happened over the last 2 weeks, and then we can talk about some of the developments over the last several days. So Thanksgiving night, obviously, the River Chase Galleria in Hoover is absolutely packed. It is the economic engine of Hoover, has been for a long, long time since its opening in the late 1980s, and really built Hoover into the, you know, 70, 80,000 person city that it is today. There was a shooting. There was an incident that happened. There are differing accounts as to how the altercation started, but we certainly know how it ended, and that was with gunshots. Several shots were heard ringing out in the Galleria. Officers responded immediately, and one of the officers responding pulled his weapon and eventually shot and killed E.J. Bradford. So the question is, what led up to the incident? So you're really kind of dealing with two different things, Sean. You're dealing with the incident that precipitated the officer coming to the scene, and then you're dealing with the officer-related shooting. So there's a lot of varying stories about what led up to the situation. Here's what we do know. We know that the officer responding to the scene thought that the individual that he shot on the night in question was the person that shot the other two individuals who were hurt. They were a 12-year-old girl was wounded and an 18-year-old was wounded, and they're going to both recover. But he thought that when he shot the individual wielding the gun, that he had shot the suspect. So that night, the mayor and the police chief of Hoover put out some incorrect information, said that they had shot and killed the suspect. They had to correct that the next day and say he wasn't the suspect. I think that misinformation led to emotions beginning to boil up within particularly the African-American community in and around Hoover, that there was something going on, some sort of cover-up or whatnot. And that has led to some of the protests that we've seen almost on a nightly basis since that's happened. Some of the protests have spilled out into the streets. And, you know, I'll hand it to Hoover. While it was frustrating for some of us to watch, they have handled this very much with kid gloves. They're giving the protesters room to do their thing, but slowly but surely they are reining them back in as to what they can and cannot do and where they can and cannot do it, to the point that over the last several days we've seen a number of arrests of protesters who have kind of violated the rules of the game, so to speak.
Is some of this stemming off of, I saw one account, the injuries of security officers? Where was that?
That was at the Rossbridge Resort Hotel and Spa. It's at the Rossbridge Golf Course. It is probably part of the Robert Trent Jones family of golf courses. So the protesters have taken the tactic of going to different locations. And what we have been told by the Hoover Police Department is that if they are on public property and they are not in any way impeding the safety of other Hoover residents, that they have an ability to protest there, and they're going to allow that to happen. If they go onto private property, and they have, they've gone into a Buffalo Wild Wings, they've gone into a Walmart, and then eventually they went on the Rossbridge Spa property. I'll get to that in a second. What we've been told is that the property owner has to instruct the Hoover police that they have told the people to leave, that they are trespassing, and at that point, the Hoover Police Department is willing to arrest those people. Thus far, the property owners have chosen just to allow them to protest for the 20 or 30 minutes they choose to do it, and then they eventually disperse. That changed at Rossbridge. Two security guards at Rossbridge Resort attempted to hold a door closed. The protesters busted through that door, injuring both of those security guards. I know one of them had to be transported to the hospital. They filed charges against several of the individuals, and one of the ringleaders of the protest has been charged. Originally, there was a question about whether he'd be charged with felonious assault, and he was eventually charged with misdemeanor assault.
All right, talking to Matt Murphy from the Matt and Ani Show from Talk 99.5 in Birmingham. Now, okay, so, and I remember reading a story the other day too. Weren't they on 495 or something like that? Had gotten out on the interstate?
Yeah, 450. Yeah, on 459. And here's something interesting, because on our show on Matt and Ani, I got a little frustrated with the city of Hoover, because I could understand why they would wait for direction from a private business owner, while I understood why they would allow individuals, and these are like 20, 30 individuals at the time, why they would allow them to protest, say, in front of City Hall. At the point that they impeded traffic, I thought, well, why in the heck aren't you arresting these people? They're impeding the flow of traffic. And they did so for about 25, 30 minutes. Eventually, those individuals that got on 459 were told that they would be arrested if they remained outside of their cars if they did not get back in their vehicles and leave. Well, they did. Well, since then, several of the people that went onto the road on 459, apparently what the police were doing, they filmed them. They cataloged that. They identified those individuals through that film, and they issued warrants for their arrest.
Oh, they did
not arrest them at the time that they were on the interstate, because they said they did not want to escalate the situation, but the Hoover City Police has since apprehended two of the individuals, and they claim that they have warrants for others who are on the interstate, and they have every intention of apprehending those people too.
You know, you mentioned Hoover in this, but if I'm right, that City of Hoover pretty quickly passed this off to Jefferson County, right? And then I was told Jefferson County passed it off to Aaliyah. Is that where it still sits?
Well, no, that's correct. So what happened, the city of Hoover obviously was not going to investigate itself. So while they are patrolling the streets and managing the protests, they are in no way a part of any of the investigation in terms of the officer-related shooting. They passed that along to the Jefferson County Sheriff's Department. The Jefferson County Sheriff's Department, the recently elected new sheriff, had a relationship with an individual who was involved, not in the actual incident itself, but was on the scene, who could have been a potential witness. So identifying that conflict of interest, it was decided that the Jefferson County Sheriff's Department would then pass it along to the Alabama Law Enforcement Agency. So, I mean, it was really in a sense of maximum due diligence that they did not want anything to appear as if it was a conflict of interest.
You know, Matt, I don't know what the right pacing for this is, but I will say, sitting from down here in southwest Alabama looking up, I wonder about the timeline. Whether, I know Hoover has, you know, it's really out of their hands. So when does Aaliyah have a presser? Because I want to get back to the protesters. What do they actually, what are they protesting? What do they want to have happen now? And will the state hold a presser and say, you know, we can't tell you, or here's what we can tell you? What, have you heard anything on that?
Well, I've heard several things, Sean. I'll say that obviously the city of Hoover doesn't have any of that information. They initially said that they would release any information that they could, and Aaliyah kind of shut that down a week into their investigation. Originally, the protesters were saying that they wanted the video. They were demanding to see the body cam video and any other surveillance video that was available from the Galleria. And the city of Hoover questioned why they would ask them for that, because they had none of it. All of that had been turned over to Aaliyah. Then the protesters started making some odd demands. They wanted a roadway outside of the Galleria renamed the E.J. Bradford Parkway. Some of these odder concepts were floated and then immediately pulled back. But essentially, they say they want truth and they want the video released, and they're demanding the video be released. To which I would say, and have been saying, if you release this video, you're doing the same thing that the Hoover City officials were guilty of the night of the event. When they put out erroneous information too early, they unfortunately gave the impression that they had killed the shooter, when in fact they had killed another individual with a weapon. Well, if you release any video or other evidence too early on in the investigation, you're similarly compromising an investigation that might eventually charge the police officer with doing something wrong. So why in the world they wouldn't want justice to play out in an orderly fashion is beyond me. Now, secondarily, the former DA of Jefferson County, Mike Anderton, before he was replaced by Danny Carr and recent elections, he came on our show and said that an officer shooting is going to take at minimum 3 months to investigate, and it could take as much as a year to investigate. So we don't believe that we're going to get some of these answers about the nature of what happened that night anytime soon.
Wait, that's, but at least there's a timeline coming out on your show. That's what I'm watching from a distance here, that Aaliyah should have some presser or something and say, hey, we understand, we hear you, and you know what, here's some timelines. We can't tell you anything right now, but we're working on it, and we will have information. I mean, something, you know, some kind of communication.
No, I agree with that, Sean, and I said the same of the city of Hoover regarding the protests, and I would say the same regarding Aaliyah as you just did. I'm not questioning what your goalposts are. I'm not questioning what the game plan is. I would just like to know what that game plan is. I'm not here to say it's the right thing or the wrong thing, but I would like to know that there is one, and would like to know some basics about what it is so we know what to expect.
Yeah, you can say that without changing anything for the investigation going on. You can give that information, and it does not change whatever, you know, outcome or to mess up the investigation. So I don't know why they're not doing that.
Well, and here's one thing that I would note. Ben Crump, who has handled a number of high-profile cases to include Trayvon Martin. Part of the overall Ferguson case with Michael Brown. He is representing the Bradford family. He has seen at least 30 seconds of the police altercation with E.J. Bradford. He and another attorney, the family was offered the opportunity too, but this was the day before they buried their son, and they chose not to. He has seen some of that video. I would note this, Sean, and this is just speculation on my part. He has been relatively subdued based on how I've seen him in the past, in past police officer related cases. The manner in which he's acting now suggests to me that perhaps he's seen something on that tape that would indicate to him that the officer was in the right in terms of use of deadly force. That's purely speculation, and I could be proved wrong, but it's just an indicator for me that perhaps what is seen on that tape is very different than what some people are describing out during these protests.
Yeah, because there's no official communication on this. I guess this is just the hearsay, but have you heard what might have led to the shooting? I mean, where E.J. Bradford we heard a report that he did have a concealed carry permit. He did have a gun. Then the question is, did he have the gun out? Has any of that come up in Birmingham? Any details?
We've had quite a bit of discussion about it. It is our understanding that when the police officer got to the scene, what he witnessed led him to believe that the shooter of the 18-year-old individual was standing over his victim with a gun in his hand, and that I spoke to an eyewitness who was in Spencer Gifts who did not see this but heard, and he told us on the Matt Nani show that he heard the officer yell at E.J. Bradford on two separate occasions to drop the weapon and get on the ground, drop your gun and get on the ground, and then he heard two gunshots ring out quickly after those orders. So you put those things together, and the indication was that whatever happened directly following the directive the police officer gave was not his satisfaction. He felt like he was being threatened in a deadly way.
If just joining us, I'm talking to Matt Murphy from Talk 99.5 in Birmingham. Now, with the so many protests to this point, your discussion of the one that led to the injuries, anything? Do they schedule to let folks? Is there anything you expect tonight or going forward this week?
You know, they are scheduling these things kind of on the fly, and a lot of times we get quick notice of them an hour or 2 hours in advance. They're doing most of this on Facebook. And so if you know some of the organizers, you can kind of point to the organizers' pages and get a sense. They claimed originally they were going to protest once a night. They're having a lot of quote-unquote planning sessions, too. And I would say that the protests did not occur at all, to my knowledge, over the weekend in the aftermath of the Ross Bridge incident. They were receiving some form of training as to what they could and could not do from some organized group. It was a closed-door meeting where they were showing the protesters where they could go and where they couldn't go to prevent future arrests. But no word on anything tonight or anything tomorrow night as of now.
Matt, thank you so much for your time, man. I appreciate it. We'll check back soon.
Anytime, Sean. Thanks.
All right, Matt Murphy checking in from Birmingham and the latest on the situation in Hoover. 12:30, check the news, then coming right back. Phone number, text line, 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
I mean, it could be scurvy. It might not just be the hantavirus. It could be some hybrid between the hantavirus. Anybody Google that yet? Those of you old enough to remember what that was, remember? People in the Southwest, right? Hantavirus with a little bit of scurvy. I think that's maybe what's getting me. 1236 FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Thank you, Ben. Sent that link to the Yellowhammer story. And Sean Ross posted this up, 42 minutes ago over at yellowhammernews.com. And I will... Let me mash on the button here. Where is the button? You mash on the Twitter button and send this here. I'll do that in a second. Let me read this. It says, the Birmingham chapter of the Nation of Islam, which is deemed an extremist, deeply racist, anti-Semitic hate group by the Southern Poverty Law Center and led nationally by the infamous Louis Farrakhan, is heading up the boycott effort in Hoover in the aftermath of the emantic E.J. Bradford Jr. death in an officer-involved shooting at the River Chase Galleria on Thanksgiving night. In a recent Facebook Live video posted by, is it Iva? Iva Williams, a spokesperson for the vice president for the activist organization led by self-proclaimed Hoover protest leader Carlos Shaverst Jr. Williams confirmed that Tremon Muhammad, a student minister for the Nation of Islam's Muhammad Mosque number 69 in Birmingham, is leading the boycott. He also detailed that the boycott is specifically meant to harm businesses owned by white people, while the activists plan on finding ways to help black-owned businesses in the Hoover, until their leases are up, at which time the businesses will be expected to move into majority black areas of Birmingham. Now, if the just a side note, can I just a side note here? If the I don't care black or white, your job is to put your business where the customers are, isn't it? Wouldn't that be? Black folks own a business. Who cares what their color is? They're in the business of making money, right? Okay, but sorry, I'm gonna get back to this. So he detailed that the boycott specifically meant to harm businesses owned by white people, with activists planning on ways to help out black-owned businesses in the Hoover until their leases are up. This tracks with the nation's Nation of Islam's theory of separation between the races and substantiates reporting by the Hoover Sun that protest efforts in the city are part of a greater, quote, war, end quote. The publication documented a recent meeting of protest leaders and activists held at the Nation of Islam's Birmingham Mosque recently, where that hate group was joined by at least one more, the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, which has been categorized as such not only by the SPLC, but the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights. Hoover Sun wrote that, quote, speakers at the mosque made it clear that this war is about much more than Bradford's death, and it is about to escalate, end quote. Now, Kara McClure, politician and activist who ran unsuccessfully as a Democrat nominee for public service commissioner, place one this election cycle, confirmed that they were bringing in people from out of state to bolster the protest efforts. McClure says, it's time to go to jail. We're going to do some arrestable actions. It's our time to fight. I'm bringing in folks from all across the country to prepare for battle because we are going to shut down Hoover. End quote. Muhammad mentioned that this was all part of the bigger cause to build up their own people for his Nation of Islam. This means black superiority over whites, as detailed by the SPLC. All right, so, and it goes on in these details here, and I put the story on Twitter so you can get this from Sean Ross. These folks, Nation of Islam and the ancillary groups here, if they don't represent the majority of anybody, I don't think, out there, except their own membership. But they get they're going to get the headlines, right? They're going to get the sensational headlines. It's groups like this on all sides that I don't think represent the majority of us, but they get the majority of the attention because, of course, they do. That is man bites dog, right? I mean, that's what's different. So we'll watch this. And you heard Matt saying there was 20 to 30 protesters at these events. I wonder how many of these folks are from out of town. They're out of our state that are part of this. And, you know, we'll go and you know, we'll see. I mean, if they're there to get truth and justice, it's one thing. If they're there to make a part of the greater war, they're calling it, and then start whatever they start here in Alabama and then leave, you know, that's kind of what happens, right? They migrate on to the next place where there's something. And you can go see the story, and Sean Ross details a lot. If you didn't know all the dirtbag stuff around Nation of Islam, it's a lot of it's listed there in that story, so you can check it out. But I would argue that we need to see who's protesting there in Birmingham. I mean, you got to think that the family of Bradford, E.J. Bradford Jr., they got a right to speak up. I think what they have a right to do is say, hey, ALEA, Alabama Law Enforcement Association, we need a timeline. I really do. I don't think much can be hurt by the state who's now taken over. You know, Hoover hands it to Jefferson County. Jefferson County hands it to the state to come out and say something, even if they have to say, hey, right now we're doing the investigation. We don't want to release that video right now because of what it could mean for the investigation going forward. That's fine. They don't have to. But they should have a presser. They should have a presser and come out and say, here's what we can't say. We hear you, but here's what we can't say. All right, or here's what we can tell you. I don't think there's any harm in that. I think that's a loss. When the city of Hoover is not allowed to say things, right? So when people are protesting in Hoover, that's got to be frustrating too. You're in Hoover, and they're protesting Hoover, but Hoover has now handed this on up the ladder. Like I said, it went from the city of Hoover to the county, Jefferson County, and from Jefferson County to the state. So while there's, you know, no excuse for the injuries that were suffered in these protests and all this stuff going on, I think it would not be a bad thing to have ALEA call a press conference and go through here just the stuff that Matt and I just talked about. Here's why we can't release the video. Here's why we can't do that thing. Give it 20 minutes to a press conference and at least be on the record on that. All right, grab a couple phone calls on this. 343-0106, 343-0106. And let's go to Dennis in Foley. Hey, Dennis.
Hey, Sean.
Hey, man.
Just a couple of quick comments. Do you recall several years ago when the white student, I think he was on LSD, was shot by the black officer there on the university?
On South Campus.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, could have been a racial thing there, but it wasn't, because even though the guy left the safety of his office and went out to subdue the guy when his felt like his life was threatened, he used deadly force, and it was deemed to be okay. Mm-hmm. We all let it play out to see what happened, and that's what happened. Another thing, I've not heard any details about what went on up there until I got this report, when they said that the guy, according to one witness, was told to drop his weapon twice. And that seems to be a theme that permeates all of the officer-involved black shootings that started the Black Lives Matter movement. And I don't understand why everybody rushes to judgment when, you know, again, according to eyewitnesses, he had a chance to comply and didn't, and then the officer feels threatened, and somebody winds up getting killed.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't jump to conclusions either way, right? So I'm sitting back. I really want, like, like protesters, I want to see the video and all that, too, but I also realize that law enforcement has to do its job here. The investigation has to proceed. They have to go through the process. You don't want to mess this up before it's finished. I completely agree with that, but, I want to know the truth of what happened. I think we all do. I don't suppose what that officer saw, how that officer felt. I don't know the situation yet. I'll stand back and see it, but I do think it's fair. Number one, I mean, the protest thing, come on. I mean, it's out of control with the targeting of white businesses. Give me a break. But on the flip side, I think the state of Alabama that now has the investigation in their hands, I don't think it's too far to say, hey, y'all, have a press conference and say, here's why we're not releasing that right now. I mean, just go on the record.
Well, you have to believe in and follow the process of law. And if you do that and everything's on the up and up, and you'll know that pretty soon. All the facts will come out, and then you can make a judgment.
Yeah, that's you and I are on the same page here. It seems like, but there's a lot of folks that aren't. So,
all right, thank you for the time.
Appreciate
it, Dennis.
Thank you, man. Appreciate the call. We'll talk about this when we get back. Some more at 343-0106. Also, I want to get into somebody said the market today. Listen, there are so many. This is why I just stand back and go, holy cow. You know, there are so many things moving at levels that I think that are, you know, the three-dimensional. You think somebody's playing three-dimensional chess, and then you find out they're just asleep at the wheel when it comes to markets. Now we're told that, we had some stocks talked about the Santa Claus bounce that could happen. I don't see that happening. Then you have a story that tech shares may rise because Apple is now going to fight the banning of the iPhone in China. Do you understand the irony of the amount of production in the iPhone that takes place in China and the fact that China is banning the purchase of them there? And then you have these stories about, have we hit the cliff? There's some, I don't know if it's imaginary. I mean, it's imaginary until it's in the rearview mirror. There's some number in declines here where it will start a ominous sign of not just a correction, but something bigger. All these stories are coming out at exactly the same time. So we'll talk about some of those numbers and a lot more when we get back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:50, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Look here, Dalton, I'm going to send you a link here to one of these standing desks. You know, this is the hip thing. Although, you know, people are saying, oh, it's standing desk. It's the new thing. Everybody's standing up at their desk. That was like a thing in the 90s, too, and it's come back. But what do you think if we take, can we raise all this equipment up here? And like if we did stand, instead of sitting in the FM Talk 106.5 studios, if we're standing. Although working in radio studios over the years that had the standing set up, people wouldn't stand. They would just have taller, like bar stools, which is pretty much what everybody was used to sitting on anyway after they were leaving work. So they just bring them to work. But yeah, everybody, it was a standing studio. I remember this, they're like, nobody's sitting in here. Look at this, it's so high, you couldn't do your show sitting down. And then everybody brought in taller chairs. So I don't know, I'm looking at it, they're running a, I don't know what this is, no definition, cyber, whatever, Cyber Monday. This is a special deal here for adjustable. Maybe we'll make the studio a standing studio. It might be good. And then we'll pull bar stools in. Also, I thought about this with the update there from WKRG talking about the canceled and moved Christmas parades. Remember back in the old days? Remember when times were simpler? Go in my time machine back to December of 2013. I don't know how this came up in my mind, but it did. Remember the big deal at the Sims Christmas parade? Does anybody remember what that was? 2013 Sims Christmas Parade. Anybody? They ended up getting a TV show out of it. The Prancing Elites. The Prancing Elites. Remember all the hubbub over the people are sitting there watching the Christmas parade. And here comes the all-male dance team. What was it called? They were J-Steppin' or J... J-Setting? Okay, J-Setting. Remember that? But then it worked for them, huh? They got all that hubbub, then got a TV show. I don't know how long it ran, but it was good for the prancing elites. But yeah, so that was my Christmas parade time machine back to 2013. I had forgotten about that. All right, I mentioned the markets. Folks over at MarketWatch.com say if the bulls don't step up, the next step for the stock market might be a little of a doozy. Now, once again, they're like four or five different conflicting opinions about what is happening or not happening right now in the market. So take this with a grain of salt, or pinch of salt, or more. I don't know. It says if the bulls don't step up, the next step for the stock market might be a bit of a doozy. Stocks extended early weakness today, sending the S&P down temporarily below the closely watched psychological support of 2,600. But a more crucial support level was tentatively broken as the U.S. equity benchmark fell through 2,616. So this is Rick Bensinger of Bensinger Investment Strategies said, bulls either muster the strength here and now to fully defend the zone, or we likely witness a swift kerplunking and a move to new 2018 lows as we close out the final 3 weeks of trading for the year. So there we go. We'll see. I mean, sometimes you have this little Santa Claus rally. I got to believe there's bigger things at play. I know the discussion of the tariffs and China seem to dominate it. At the same time, you talk to so many people on Main Street, not Wall Street, and business is good. Business has picked up. Employment is great. People are getting raises. These are good things. You look at, what is it, Black Friday and Cyber Monday and all the numbers are up, right, in the retail sector. Yeah, there's individual stories like the Apple story, but how big is the China market? And would you buy an iPhone if it cost a little bit more? I don't know. I don't know where the break point is. But it seems like so much is made of the tariff battle is significant. You know, we've talked about it. I'm not a big tariff person. I understand what the president's doing. I'm not a, you know, I'm kind of like Larry Kudlow in this, that the scenario, which is probably Pollyanna, of not everybody, in other words, an equal playing field. Mind no tariffs anywhere and then move on. I don't know if that'll ever be equal when you deal from a first world nation to a third world nation or a second world nation, but the same point, is it enough? Is this idea that they may or may not, because the market, remember, the market was charging. President Trump started talking, he started talking tariffs on the campaign trail. He started talking about it seriously, what, 6 months ago, 7 months ago, right? But the market still was doing just fine. It's volatile. It's been a volatile year, to say the least. But the market was just fine. Then he has this meeting. They go to dinner or something, and the president thinks they can get a deal. And everybody's, like a week ago today, market charges. And then it falls apart the next day because they don't think he's going to get the deal. There's something to this that seems unbelievable to a hayseed like me. That the market completely ignores the fact, I mean, candidate Trump and then President Trump has been talking about tariffs for months and months and months and months and months, and candidate Trump since 2016. This is nothing new. So to say the whole, well, I won't use bloodbath of the markets the last 2 weeks, that's based on this uncertainty over tariffs, am I missing something? I mean, they say, oh, well, President Trump tweeted out, I'm a terrorist man, or terrorist guy, or whatever the heck it was. He was telling you that in 2016. Why now? Why do you believe it now? You didn't believe it then, and now you believe it, or before? What? I'm missing some part of this. Market pointy heads up there that are reactive. So I don't know. But we'll talk about this some coming up next hour. Also next hour, it is National Lager Day, L-A-G-E-R, like the type of beer, National Lager Day. And we'll talk about how you celebrate. I know you know how to do it, but for the rest, how do you celebrate National Lager Day? We'll get into that coming up at 12:35, a discussion with a man who has probably one of the cooler jobs out there, Dalton, Kenny Gould. He's founder of Hop Culture, the online magazine for craft beer. He's going to join us at 1:35. Also coming up next hour, Todd Stacy from Alabama Daily News joins us. We'll talk about Montgomery and Washington and what happened on Friday. What does this mean for the president as the special counsel's office in the Southern District of New York releasing memos about their cases on this? The president is saying, hey, this information totally clears him. You got people out there saying, eh, not so fast. Even Andrew McCarthy saying, while, you know, he doesn't think this is the worst thing that could happen, he thinks there might be an indictment by Manhattan, U.S. attorney, of President Trump. Now, where do we go from there? We'll talk about that with Todd Stacey when we come back. Yes, thank you for the pictures of the screenshots here of the Prancing Elites back in 2013. That was just my time machine talking Christmas parades, 2013. Prancing Elites in the parade. Ah, those were the days, huh?